So my birthday has coincided with Kala Chakra today. So today we have a gathering of both religious and political leaders here on the stage, and also so many public of Ladakh and public from Western countries have specially arrived here, and for Tibetans. So for all of you, you have come here to greet me and to make prayer for my life. I would like to thank you all. Today in here in Leh, Ladakh, the people of Ladakh, visitors, and those, especially those of you who have come from Western countries, who are physically present here and making prayers for me, my welfare, my well-being, and greeting me. And those who are not physically present here, but who are in faraway places, but through their mind, especially those in Tibet who have deep connection with me, are wishing me good wishes, and also those people who are physically not allowed to celebrate my birthday, but are in their mind celebrating my birthday, I would like to all thank all of them. And also the people of Mongolia and the people of Mongolian descent in Russia, who have so strong connection, historical connection, and close bond with Tibet. I have heard that they have organized a special birthday celebration for me in over there. I would like to thank them all, and also Chinese Dharma brothers and sisters Taiwanese of Chinese descent in Taiwan are also celebrating my birthday in Taiwan. That's what I heard. And also in China, mainland China also, even though people are not allowed to openly celebrate my birthday, are in their hearts wishing me greetings and well-being. I would like to thank them all. Also Tibetans all over India who are not here, and also people of the Himalayan regions who are Buddhist by tradition, who have connection with me, relationship with me. As I always say, India and Tibet have guru disciple relationship. In our tradition, we have the five sciences, five traditional sciences of knowledge, especially Buddhism. They all came from India, especially they were the products or the contribution of great masters of Nalanda. A great Tibetan master had said that Tibet is a country surrounded by mountains. Therefore, it's called the Snowland, Land of Snows. And the color of snow is white and it's bright. But before the light of Dharma came to Tibet, Tibet was a dark country. But ever since the Dharma of Buddha Shakyamuni came to Tibet, then Tibet got illuminated. Tibet became a brightly lit country. And that is an extremely true statement. Therefore, our brothers and sisters of India, I'm sure there are many Indian brothers and sisters all over India who are also wishing me best wishes and congratulations on this day. I would like to thank all of them also. And ever since we have become refugees in India, we have been able to enjoy full democratic rights and freedom in India. And due to that, we have been able to travel to all kinds of places. Whenever I meet different new people, people of different races, religion, in other places, or wherever I go, I never think I am Buddhist, I am Tibetan, I am monk. I just think I am a monk, I am a person, I am a human being, just as the other person I am meeting is a human being. Therefore, I immediately feel a sense of brotherhood, fellow human feeling. Therefore, I have friends all over, everywhere. I have friends in Islam, I have in Hinduism, in Jewish religion, in Christianity. So, I have also friends among people who don't have belief in any religion, like scientists, academicians. Many of them don't have any interest in religion, but they but still we have genuine warm feelings, a human feeling towards each other. From the scientific point of view, the human warm feeling is gaining new interest in today's time. So, in many places around the world, there are many people who are sort of wishing me good best wishes today and for celebrating my birthday. And I would like to extend my warmest thanks to all of them today.
Matsor Cube, the Kandachi, Sosu, Nendegi, Sarah Tangbe, one, eh? Not a busy, tu sawa de la, misi tu salong chumbari. Chaza ngaram samalong liya, henji ki, michi ki sawa seya di, yue de bishirwa. Sa jine yin dusa ne, misi su tuwa yin ne, dewan daba da dunghe mi daba da, dunghe yon ya di, namdo runzing che dunghe yon ya, dewa yon ya di, chik chik sawa yon na, yiji yon de ya. Yiji yon na, chobu chatu ya. Chobu yon na, lo debu chatu ya. Jignan meba, yungu yon indi zane. Wada, misu tuwa yin ne, tangu di, michi ju yin bejin betwa ne, da, sama lo dunghe mi daba da, dewa
yon ya di, whenever I meet somebody, first of all, I see them as a fellow human being, desiring happiness and not desiring unhappiness. There's no way we can eliminate all the suffering in the world. But as long as we have internal peace, love and compassion and internal stability, no matter how much difficult, how big is our adverse situation, how big the external difficulty is, we can still remain calm and internally sort of peaceful. In today's world, the human population has increased, and poverty has also proportionally increased due to the, as a result of that. In this scenario, the global environment has also declined, and so. Therefore, now environmental situation has reached a crisis stage, and it's very important to give proper care and attention to environmental preservation, including the ecosystem, wildlife like that. And here in Ladakh, I have noticed that here people are, you have some programs to take care of environment and wildlife. That is very important and very good. My second commitment or objective, I am a Buddhist monk. And in this world, all the major religions all emphasize on the basic human values, and in that respect, they're all same. Whether it's Islam, Christianity, Jewish, Buddhism, like that. So their basic fundamental teaching is nonviolence. Love, compassion. So now, nonviolence doesn't mean nonviolence out of fear. The real nonviolence is nonviolence out of compassion, respect. You know, if we don't harm somebody out of the motivation or out of the feeling that it is an immoral act. It is an abusive act. And if I commit a violent act, it will harm that other person or other being. Then that is real nonviolence. Therefore, so even if, and also forgiveness. So these are there in all religions, all major religions. Stress on these basic human values. Of course, all these different religious systems have different philosophical tenets. But that is not a problem. In fact, it is good that we have more than one philosophical tenet, because there are people needs have different dispositions and have different ways of thinking, and these different philosophical definite tenets fulfill their suit, or rather meet their psychological and philosophical sort of needs. So these days, there are, you know, religious intolerance in Burma, Sri Lanka. I heard of religious intolerance, especially in Buddhist countries, I used to tell them, for example, when some Muslim minorities are under attack, I used to tell the Buddhist community, just imagine the Buddha's face. The Buddha says, you know, taught us nonviolence. And the Buddha is like, especially has special compassion and love for those who are downtrodden and weaker. So even among Muslims, there are troubles between Sunni and Shias. And there are also there are problems between Christians. So why are all these problems happening? Our religions teach us to practice love and compassion. So we claim to be followers of our different religious systems, of our religious teachers. But still, in practice, we are doing the opposite, being violent and harmful. So if we are true practitioners, true followers of our religious teachings, then we have to try to our best to stick to, implement the teaching of our religious teachings. So it is not that religious harmony is an impossible goal. It is possible. So what we have to do is we have to have more frequent interaction and talk to each other, discuss each other about our misunderstandings, and create friendship and more understanding on the basis of respect and understanding. So therefore, my second commitment is trying to promote religious harmony, human brotherhood, and respect and understanding between different religious traditions and between religious communities. My third commitment or objective, being a Tibetan, I'm my 6 million Tibetan people put their hope in me, and because of that, I have a natural responsibility over them, especially the Tibetan Buddhism and Tibetan Buddhist culture, which developed in Tibet, is a tradition which comprises a comprehensive Buddhism, including Mahayana, Vajrayana, and the entire Vinaya system, based on logic and reasoning. So it is a unique and complete form of Buddhism on the face of this earth. In this tradition, Buddhist tradition of Tibet, this is academic study on how on defining what is what is a right motor perception, what is wrong motor perception, and what is the correct view, what is incorrect view, and so on, in great detail. So therefore, I very often stress that the Tibetan tradition is the Nalanda tradition. And to those who are non-believers, especially academicians and scientists, many of them, those who I have met, are greatly impressed with this tradition of Nalanda masters of analyzing the human psychology through logic and reasoning. So if we, within Tibetan Buddhism, we can make a category, Tibetan Buddhist science, Buddhist, Buddhist practiced, and Buddhist philosophy. So on the basis of such a categorization, we are definite that we can, Tibetan Buddhism can make a definite contribution to the larger human community on this earth. So this culture, this civilization, this knowledge is a great contribution of Tibetans, and of course as a result of the Nalanda masters. Only today many scholars are saying that the Tibetan language is the only language which can describe the Nalanda tradition of Buddhist science in the greatest depth. And therefore, as Tibetans, to preserve the Nalanda tradition that thrived in Tibet, that flourished in Tibet, and the Buddhist philosophy, Buddhist philosophical tenet, is extremely important for a Tibetan to preserve them. So as a Tibetan, we consider this tradition as almost like our heart and soul. This is the cream of Tibetan civilization. And to further promote it and preserve it and propagate it in the world, this, I think, is the greatest mission of Tibetans. And so political situation changes from time to time. For example, in the 8th, 9th, 10th century in Asia, scholars say there are three emperors: Chinese emperor, Mongolian emperor, and Tibetan emperor. These scholars say this after doing research on Chinese literature and various kind of ancient resources. From the age of 16 until age 79, I have taken the responsibility of Tibet and Tibetan culture. I am not calling for separating Tibet, splitting Tibet from China today. I am pursuing a policy that will benefit both China and Tibet. And to promote Tibetan culture and preserve Tibetan tradition. And many Chinese intellectuals and knowledgeable Chinese are supporting this view. And many and this group of people is increasing more and more. So most important for us is to preserve our distinct language, religion and culture. And as far as politics, our political goal is concerned, as I said before, we want a win-win. We are pursuing a win-win solution which will benefit both China and Chinese people and Tibetan people. So, to all of you who have gathered here physically and to who are not here physically, my message to all of you is these three commitments that I'm trying to promote. And I consider you all as my friends. We are all fellow human beings. It's our responsibility to make this world a more peaceful and happier place, make the 21st century a century of peace, harmony, cooperation. And wherever you are staying, engage in acts to promote religious harmony and friendship and understanding between religions in the area where you are staying. And thirdly, please clarify to everybody the cause of our political policy of middle path. Problems and crisis will be there all the time. It will never end. But when we try to overcome them, we have to adopt a non-violence human approach. That is the... So if we use common sense, all our problems being human problem, we have to use human approach, which is a natural human reflex to solve the problems. We shouldn't use a resort to taking arms and violence, because look back into history. Every time there's a problem, people have used, resorted to violence as a means to solve the problem. And each time one problem is overcome, another problem rises. So there will never be an end to this cycle of violence and problem. So we so far have adopted a non-violent approach, a human approach, and a middle way approach to our political cause and struggle with China. And this should be an example to the world, a political struggle based on non-violence, win-win solution. So if one day, let's say, we will not achieve any result through our non-violent approach, then maybe people will say, "Oh, then non-violent approach is a useless approach. Look at the Tibetan struggle; it never yielded any result, despite such a long struggle." But so far, we have gained enormous international support and goodwill in our struggle against China for the rightful for our freedom and for our sort of for the resolution of the Tibetan problem. And that is this is a result of our non-violent human approach. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.